And what that means for us as a body of believers who honestly, if you ask most of us in this room, maybe not all, but I think most of us in this room, to step out and to say, God, with open hands and open hearts, we want to live extraordinarily generous lives. As you were here last weekend, you heard this. God, we want to store practically, spiritually, emotionally, intellectually, everything that we have in the heavens, because that's where eternity reigns and that's where eternity rules. And so we want to seek your kingdom first, Jesus. Not as a secondary part of our lives, but we want to seek your kingdom first. We want to store first there, because 311 years from now, that will be the investment that will mean a reckoning for eternity. So the implications for that, I don't have the permission to share the stories. We're infinitely practical in this room. And so how do we live that out? Philippians 4:19, I will loosely quote it in the Mark Siegel version and read it in just a few moments. It says, or if it comes on the screen, I can read it too. That would be really awesome. So Philippians 4:19 just says, out of a church who is saying, in our poverty, we want to give with great abundance. In our lack, we want to live advancing as if the King of Glory could step into this room, and because of who he is, he could truly transform the nations, because we're gathered right here. I'm not positive every one of us believes that in this room. I am positive that the living God does. And I am positive that he's looking for a group of people who are saying, in our poverty, in our inadequacy, in our lack of capacity, God, you can move for your name's sake. And it's because our God will supply all of our needs out of his abounding riches, which are seated in the heavenlies. And so if we just kind of park around that and say, okay, Lord, this is beautiful. We want you to guide us in that. God, we want you to supply our needs. I know that this verse, again, to go with the common theme the last few weeks, a lot of Philippians, the fourth chapter, have been cherry-picked to fit our desire for more luxury as we walk this earth. And if you decontextualize Philippians 4:19, you will actually think, oh, this is so that he can supply all the things that I need as I make my way through here for the sake of my comfort. And you completely fail to exegete the passage in context of the Philippian church, who were saying, out of our extraordinary poverty, we were first to run toward needs. We were first to run with the gospel. We were first to run with generosity. We were first to run with our hearts. We were first to step into the places. When Paul actually says these words, and this is where I would love us to land as a church, when Paul says, there was a lot of other churches, he says this in Philippians 4, that were around and they did nothing, and you were the first that stepped out and you led the way in this passion for the zealous kingdom of Jesus Christ. And so if we could land that that's the supplier for verse 19, it would be powerful, because we wouldn't sit around and say, when we're having a bad day, but God will supply. We would sit around and say, God, when our hands are open and our hearts are moving and we're advancing the cause and we have no idea how we're going to pull it off, and we don't have the skill set, we don't have the money, we don't have the resources, we don't have the ability, I'm as dumb as a brick, I have no idea how this is going to pull off, and then I would step into 19. But my God is about the fame of his glory, about the gospel of his glory, about the hope of his glory, and he will supply my needs according to the riches of his glory. And that gets a lot more exciting than my ability and capacity or him to supply something for me to make it through the day. Susan and I were reading a book together. It's been quite a few years ago. There was a simple thesis statement. The book's author was Jenny Allen. I think it was her first book. It's called Anything. And it was because of the thesis statement, and this was a theme of our life for, I would say, it's not going away, it's today. But her thesis of the book was this: God, I will do anything. I would finish that. For the sake of your glory and the renown of your name, I will do anything. I will say yes to you. I will put that on the table. That is the desire of my heart. That prayer that entered into our heart about 8 years ago now was a prayer that kind of led us to opportunities where I would say I was fundamentally inadequate to be a part of. You know, just no capacity for it. I got the chance to, out of that work, to work in tandem with a mentoring foster and adoptive care ministry that was moving throughout Birmingham and into Tuscaloosa, and just kind of saying, and this was on the verge, if not happened, is the body of Christ, can we eliminate the need for the system in these cities? These are mega cities like Jacksonville. Can we eliminate this need because the body of Christ is responding to this? And it was a unique nuance to be a part of that. And just to kind of step into that, I got to be involved with a ministry called Doctors Without Borders, and it was a beautiful ministry going into varying places. I was on the side of Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Praise the Lord for saying those two words in this room. Roll Tide. And so, but in Tuscaloosa, I was part of the navigational side in the States. And so, we had the most beautiful Doctors Without Borders. Our God will supply all of your needs according to the riches and glory, and He will make the gospel great, because where we stored all of our stuff was broken into and it was stolen. And I'm talking about stolen. I mean, every single thing was stolen. And so, you know, we're going to the Honduras, and the next thing I know, I'm getting a phone call from the local news and the local paper, and they're just kind of saying, we hear they ripped off the missions work. And I'm going, yeah. And so they're coming out kind of looking for hostile Jesus followers, and they met the gospel-centered lovers of God who just simply stood, and we got to say on TV throughout the entire city of Tuscaloosa, and that channel carried on into Birmingham, here's what we know about the Lord, is that He is good and gracious, and He's moving toward that nation, and while that supply shed was ripped off, the supply of Christ was not. And so the gospel just kind of went throughout the city, and then the rest of the story is just stupid amazing. Like Dick's Sporting Goods sent us 1,000 shoes to take to the play. I mean, it just went on and on of just story after story of how the gospel pervaded by stepping into this little story where we were fundamentally inadequate. And yet God will supply your needs, even if you sense that your needs have been stolen. Just, that's not a major point today, but that just hit me as, wow, thank you, Lord. He got to reignite a relationship I had 25 years prior, when I was a student at the university, with people who were suffering with AIDS. And I got to be also step in and do the most challenging thing with us bunch of Christians. I really got to try to connect churches, people who follow Jesus and who often become Pharisees. I got to connect churches with the most hurting and the most painful people that are walking, who also have a propensity to walk most antithetical to the body of Christ. And it was the most beautiful and painful thing as a leader and community leader in that, to say to churches, you have a chance to carry the presence of the gospel where it rarely goes. And so we were in the middle of that, just seeing God do powerful things, and churches were kind of awakening to the wonder of the gospel, that it actually really changes lives, and that Jesus wasn't kidding when He said He was a friend of sinners. And so it was just really beautiful. And then in the middle of all that, we get this phone call from a friend who says, there's this place in Mandarin. And now, remember, we just kind of pray, we'll do anything. And I'll do anything for the sake of Jesus. I will step into work with AIDS victims. I will step into the Churches Without Borders, or whatever that saying. Churches don't have borders either, but Doctors Without Borders. I will step into varying things. But you know, as Bear Bryant says really well, Mama had come calling, and she had called us home. If you don't follow the Crimson Tide, Bear Bryant's a coach. And when he left Texas A&M, he said to who he loved very much, Mama came calling. Well, we had landed in Mama's hometown. And so I was looking at Susan. We were looking and we were going, God, really? No, you're kidding. And so we just kind of put it aside. And then the Holy Spirit just kept speaking. And with our trembling heart cry, we were like, yeah, we'll explore this. The next thing I know, I'm talking to the Beloved. You know, I'm talking to Mark Powell, and it's done. You know, once you talk to Mark Powell, it's over. And we had no idea what we would have when we landed in this family. We just were saying, God, we have a yes to this. So I didn't know that saying yes to the Lord would require us to call on Him for supply in unprecedented ways. I didn't know that Susan and I would pray more than we've ever prayed in our lives. Hallelujah to that. I didn't know that it would just be a powerful time for us to just say, God, when we said anything, we really meant it, including we will forsake our family if needed. We will walk away if needed. And the answer is yes, Lord, to whatever You have for us. And in doing so, He brought us trembling here with a 16-year-old down to a 3-year-old for the sake of the kingdom. Because here's what we said to Jesus a long time ago, and we're saying to Him again this morning, God, we will do anything if it is Your name and Your glory. And what, I didn't know what's been out of that. I didn't know that we would take global steps that God has opened for us. I didn't know. I started writing down names in my journal as I prepared this message. I didn't know the names and many of your faces that would walk through the baptismal waters in the last 4 years. I didn't know what we don't know right now. But I didn't know that we would get to not only come to this church, but welcome a new pastor this morning to the second and the third church on this campus that are touching this city for the sake of the gospel. I just thought we were coming here. I didn't know Rick Wheeler would tell me, you're not coming to serve Mandarin, you're coming to serve a city. I didn't know that we would serve a city and serve it extraordinarily for the gospel. I didn't know that we would get to partner with a children's home. I just knew that God would supply our needs according to his riches and glory. I surely didn't know that our family would land at an orphanage in a nation in the Caribbean. And I definitely didn't know that I would partner with Mark and a bunch of others to build a medical center in Guatemala or to begin a new ministry or to launch an orphanage or to start to touch teens in Guatemala. I had no idea. Here's what I said to the Lord. Our yes is on the table. What about you? That's where I felt like we landed last week, is that yes, Jesus. There was dozens of us in this room that I've had conversations with. I didn't talk to everyone, but just the answer was, yes, Lord, we want our lives to be abundant for the sake of your glory. I think that is both personal and communal, because almost everything I described there was a communal privilege of being a part of the body of Christ. The communal joy of shared life with other believers. But it's an extraordinarily personal reality for every one of us in this room to, with trembling hands, say to God, God, I'll do anything. And I wonder if we're there because Ryan prayed that in his prayer, and I'm listening just sensitive to the Holy Spirit this morning. It is beautiful to be moved towards generosity as a body of believers, and to circumvent to mean that body means somebody else than it is to say to the Lord in a personal way with corporate expectation, Father, you will supply our needs according to your riches, which are in glory. We are similar to the Macedonian church. We are few in this room right now. We are few in resources in this room right now. I can't speak for me, but I am radically inadequate in this room right now. And yet I am radically leaning in to Jesus, having handed him my yes and trusting in that yes, that he will supply needs according to his riches, which flow toward us in glory. So if you were one of the many that were moved last weekend by the generosity of heart out of the poverty of capacity, then put your yes on the table. In a very practical and tangible way to say, Lord, I want to be able to look back 5 years from now, and this is a 5-year journey at this point, and to begin to list what I could have never expected sitting in the room on March 4th, 2018. But God, I'm going to, if you journal, I would journal. God, I'm going to at least slide this prayer on the table. Father, for your name's sake, I'm in. I'll do anything. That thesis has deeply moved my heart. And I wrote in my notes, I've already given away the punchline here. How does he answer us? In Philippians 4:19, he says, when you say that, Mark, I will supply all of your needs according to my riches and glory that are in Christ Jesus. I think he was looking at the church. I just brought a real simple little, I like to have illustrations for myself. I like to just kind of think things for myself. And I think I brought, Camille, could you report this to Rick, who's preaching in Orange Park right now, that I have engaged jacks hanging in my hand. And when I think of God's supply and what he's saying to the church at Philippi in Acts 4:19 is this, is that I've got your needs and I'm going to meet them. And I think that a lot of times as church, we just kind of pause right here and go, thank you so much, Jesus. And thank you that you have filled my life. Thank you that you saved me. Thank you for the rescue. And Philippians 4 is saying, thank you for thanking me. Now I'm calling you to go and pour this out for the sake of the kingdom. It doesn't really matter if I hit or miss the bottom. Hang in there. I moved away from the electrical. I think he's looking around going like, I'm just pretty passionate, not that you just kind of said thank you so much, but I'm looking for a body of believers who are coming and saying, God, I will do anything for the sake of your name. I will pour it out in this world. And he's just kind of come along saying, when you do, I'll supply your need. When you do, I'll supply your need. When you do, I'll supply your need. Just keep coming after me. Keep pouring this out in this world. This isn't the call of Christ here. This is not where we're at. I'm happy. Thank you, Lord. This is the call of Christ. God, I'm going to pour this out on this city. I'm going to pour this out on the nations, and I will be glad and rejoice, for the Lord God is with me. And as I pour out, He seems to just keep pouring. May that be our prayer today as we come and say, Lord, I don't fully get Philippians 4:19. Maybe this was something you needed to see, that it is your poverty and your inadequacy that allows you to be filled with the presence and the riches of Jesus Christ. Because otherwise, you got nothing. But in Him, you come full of the Spirit and of life. I'm not going to pour this around my Bible. I really am weird about my Bible, so I'm just going to let that sit here. I don't know how you are. I don't want any ever on top of it. It's like sacred for me, you know? And so I come sharing two thoughts. In case you think this is a new idea, I wrote this down. This is in your notes. It's God sends vertical help Himself through horizontal means. And for me, this is a deep theological truth that is birthed out of the reality that God put on flesh in John 1:1 and says, He put on flesh and came and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory. It's the glory of the one and only. It's the glory of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And that glory is filled with grace and with truth. And I want to come back to just the truth and reality of Philippians 4 leading to verse 19 and the theological framework for why we believe it's critical that we say yes to Jesus. It's because God most often, I would put the word most if I were, I would like write that in. He most often sends vertical help, that's Himself, through horizontal means, that's us. He most often looked at the Macedonian church, the church at Philippi, the church at Mandarin, and said, this city is in extraordinary need. Here you are, church. I am vertically here. I have put on flesh. You have seen me. Now go. Now God can intervene in any way He sees fit. Most often, as I read Scripture, He sends vertical help Himself through horizontal means, His people. I gather that from the rendering of the Greek word that was a derivative written into the Philippians, the fourth chapter, as he was just talking about how you go and you move in the middle of your poverty for the sake of the glory of the cross. If you think about this, God initiated his incarnation, the vertically miraculous, through horizontal means. Here's what I mean by that. Part of the unfettered, abandoned, I like the word unfettered. It's a nice old hymn word that's similar to reckless. Part of the unfettered, reckless, abandoned of the movement of God in the form of Christ was this, that He put on flesh and He pitched a tent among us. He stepped out of the heaven in the form of a babe with a pregnant teen who was an unmarried virgin. Wow. So vertically, God put on flesh. Horizontally, He moved for this woman named Mary. I know we're approaching Easter, but I'm here on Christmas right now, just kind of going, praise God for His work. Can you imagine the day after Mary heard from the angel that she's pregnant with the Son of God? There's no categories for this. I wrote down, she's pregnant with the Son of God. This is a once-in-a-lifetime event. And then I wrote a second sentence, this is a once-in-eternity event. I mean, this is unprecedented going on here. And the vertical is expressing Himself, and He is choosing the horizontal, Mary, to say, in the incarnation of my presence and the reality of who I am on earth, I am looking for an obedient, miraculous movement, fundamentally inadequate. Hasn't performed the actions that require me to birth this babe. She is here as a miracle, and I am going to express who I am through horizontally her. How powerful to think that this Macedonian church, they're just acting as God acted as He incarnated Himself on this earth. Out of our poverty, we pour out great wealth. Out of the most shocking events, we pour out the beauty and the wonder of God. Her belief, Mary's belief, was evidenced by the denial of self and the obedience to God. Just this is in context of losing everything. And I think we have to look at this. She would lose her reputation. She would potentially lose her husband. She would lose her place among the people. And if you follow the trajectory of the law of the day, she would lose her life. And what's her answer in light of that? Here's her answer. My soul praises the greatness of the Lord. She just got in a cart and went to visit Elizabeth, and Jesus and John the Baptist had a dance fest in the womb together. It was a powerful moment. And in visiting with Elizabeth, she starts to sing. How do we respond in the midst of our great poverty with the great wealth of God that is pouring around us? Here you go. My soul praises the greatness of the Lord. And my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, because He's looked on favor on the humble condition of His servant. And surely from all generations will call me blessed, because the Mighty One has done great things for me. And His name is holy. His mercy is from generation to generation to those who fear Him. So as you sit and listen today, kind of have a little water poured out in the room, and our God will supply all of your needs in your poverty, in your inadequacy, in your incapability, what is your response? I want this room within our hearts to begin to sing, my God, you are great. You are mighty. Your heart is moving to the places in this world that are broken. You have moved in a vertical manner through me. And God, horizontally, you invite me to step into this world and pour out that love that has been poured into me. And so I worship you with abandon, Lord. She felt the eternal significance of her life, and she just simply said to God, I am thankful to be a part of this plan. Do we in this room feel the eternal significance of our lives? This sentence is on the screen. No matter the cost, Mary was praising God for the joy of participating in eternity. That was really where we were throughout. And I just wanted to come and say, if you're wondering what the framework of the challenge to the church at Philippi and the church at Mandarin is, it is the framework of the theology of God drawing near. Because here's what I know. He sends vertical help himself most often through horizontal means that are fundamentally inadequate, extraordinarily humble, and hearts are bent to just turn and praise him. And I should ask this. I mean, this doesn't go well with our puritanical desires of strength. I will gladly and unabashedly confess to you that I am fundamentally inadequate to pull off anything for the sake of God apart from Christ. Fundamentally. I got nothing. If you're sitting around going, if I am going to be a pastor of anything significant, it will be out of the grace of the cross. And I will boast there. And so Mary just says, no matter the cost, I don't have any entitlement. I'm anticipating suffering. I'm waiting and responding. I will glory in God because I will participate in eternity. And I wrote a second thought. He continues being God to put on flesh and to make himself known through his people. He continues to put on flesh and to make himself known through his people. That's just the pattern of the day. Philippians 2, 5 through 7 just says this, your attitude, and I'm quoting it from a different version than probably popping up on the screen, but your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. I've always found that to be the most flummoxing verse in Scripture, because he then talks about one of the most potent theories of, or the most potent truths about God as he put on flesh and dwelt among us. But he precipitated that. He preceded that by saying, hey, follower, hey, church, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant. And so as we kind of sit in this room and start to say, God, you have my heart. We have trembling hands. We will do anything. We are fundamentally incapable. We don't even know what we could pull off. But Holy Spirit, we hold out hands for you. Would you guide us where you would take us? I think God just simply loves that and says, I love a humble servant who will step into the fray of this world, who will carry the attitude of Christ Jesus, who will walk humbly out, and who will serve this world for the sake of my name. And you're going to carry that attitude if you're following the way of Christ. And so in this middle of this, God puts on flesh himself, who he is, to make himself known through his people. Isn't that exciting? Like, you and I are like Mary. We're going to sit around. We should be, I mean, I know that you're hearing this for the first time, and I've been there all week. It's not fair. But I mean, right now I'm feeling singing in my heart. Like, my soul blesses you, O Lord. I get to be a part of your kingdom, O Lord. I'm just cheating and giving away my ending. He writes a doxology in verse 20. When he finishes, with out of our poverty we give with great wealth. With out of our poverty we give with great gain. We give because God supplies our needs. And then all he does is burst into song in verse 20. He just bursts into song and starts singing praises to the Lord. Here's where I land. I can't believe when I started scripting out what you were doing in our lives. I can't believe when you brought us here, God, that you would do the things you've done. You have done great things, Lord. I don't get to project the future. I get to look backward and say, God, out of my extraordinarily light abilities, I've watched you. And your extraordinary riches do wonders. Oh, that would be the prayer of my heart for this church as we come last week saying, God, we long for you to move. I wrote of Mary when Mary submitted and focused her life on the eternal plan of God. And when she did that, she was in awe that God was giving her a role to play. This is on the screen, and I would write this down. Her inadequacy paled in light of God's plan for humanity. So we're inadequate. We should feel that. We should feel the weight of that. We should really celebrate. We should write a song. You know, I got nothing, Lord. That's so not where most of us are. See, I mean, I like to posture myself in this world as important, but I got nothing, Jesus. I am empty and broken, and I am inadequate. And if you're rebelling against us right now, you're just fulfilling what I'm saying. Lord, I don't have the capacity, but here's what I know. I know you. And so I have extraordinary confidence as I walk in this world, not in my adequacy, but in the supreme authority and wonder of Christ who lives in me and who is the hope of glory. Amen. And so what I celebrate is that I got nothing but Jesus, and therefore I have his eternal riches. Praise God. He's our supply. He invites us in. And so how do we lean into this calling? Try to figure out whether I want to just, we, Elle and I have a song that we can annoy our family with to death because we're good at it. I am good at annoying people, particularly my family. I think I have a gift. So we went to Bob's River Place this summer. I don't recommend it, and I definitely don't recommend it if you're above the age of 40. I'm above 50, and I highly don't recommend it, but I think we have a picture of Bob's River Place. It could come up on the screen. It was pretty fun, and I was just kind of thinking, God, how do I get into this? Anyway, I'm not going to say anything more about that, but how do I get into this? And so I kind of start big. You know, I just climbed to the highest tower and thought, let's just go big or go home. And since I'm confessing all my inadequacy, I went to the top of the tallest tree and I held the rope for about 2 minutes. I was trembling, and then I'm kind of adventurous. I like high ropes adventures and all this kind of stuff, but I don't know that I've done a lot of that crazy stuff in the last decade, and so I hate to tell you, but I climbed down. I did. So I started here. So I started there. That's like the low rope. It's kind of like the easier way in. Susan's shaking her head because I'm actually fabricating this. I started at the top, but it makes better if I start here. And so she's like over there, you're lying, I know. But it's just kind of stepping in and saying, God, I want just this. I don't know what this looks like, but here's a hesitant yes. And then I ended here. It was kind of exciting. I can't wait to go back. And so I ended it. But in between, there's this series of yes, Jesus. I mean, God will carry you as you put your yes on the table. For many of you in this room last week, you were sitting and going, I want to follow you, Jesus. I want to go where you are. I want to be where you are. I want to move with you. It's kind of like this, you know, just say that and God will walk with you. I mean, it is crazy. He may start you off going, let's just go to the nations for the glory. I've had that happen before, but most often, not always, most often I've just heard him say, well, would you take this step of obedience? Would you take this next step of obedience? And the next thing you know, you're soaring 50 feet in the air, shouting at the top of your lungs, praise God, and honestly hurting for the next 96 days. But it hurt so good. It was so right. You know, black and brown bruises all over you, but it was worthy. And when you're in the kingdom of Christ and you're soaring out of your capacity and you're in the middle of the winds of God and you thought, I could have never have done this, God is just smiling as he holds you up and says, we are about to release again. Let's go, son of mine. Let's go, daughter of mine, for the sake of my kingdom. And I start wrestling with that story. Sounds really good. How? And so I end with the how. In the first chapter of Acts, Christ returned to God and promised the Holy Spirit. And here's what he said to them. Don't go anywhere and don't grab any rope and don't go off of any high rise until you hear from him. Some of you are liking that. You're not. Don't go anywhere until you hear from the Spirit. So they waited, knowing they couldn't change the world in their frailty. In their greatest moment of commitment after a message of truth out of the scripture like last weekend, they still knew that they could not do this. And so he came in, and listen to these words, because this has moved me. He came in, he blew in, and he woke everyone up. Awaken, O sleeper, the scripture says. He woke everyone up, and listen, everyone knew what to do in that moment. Here is a freedom. It's still ethereal. It requires you to know Jesus. There's no three steps to going off of Bob's River Place with rope. There really is there, but there's none spiritually. It's just walking in and saying, God, wake me up. And listen to, he was talking to the most fickle, confused, often hostile people on the planet. And he blew in among them and awakened them to the passion of the kingdom of Christ. The half-hearted followers who were hiding days ago are now infused with passion and purpose because he awakened them. This is the key to sustained power for the average man and woman sitting in a pew in Mandarin today. With mundane skills, inadequate resources, believe me, I can shout amen when I say that. With all of that surrounds us, we simply say, but we have the one who has the riches in glory. And here's who we follow, the Spirit of God, who awakens us, affirms us, teaches us, prays for us, leads us in what to do, equips us with what we need. Praise be to God in Christ for that Holy Spirit. Soar with him, Lord. This is the key. Our God will supply all of our needs. And I could not, we would be here another hour, and I've got less than 2 minutes left. And so for the sake of just that reality, listen. Here's what he said. He was all through the book of Acts, and the Spirit told them to go with them, he says in chapter 11, verse 12. And the Spirit said to Philip, just go over there. He's driving in the back seat of a car. He's being drawn to the Lord. Just go tell him how. Acts 8:29. They didn't have cars though. The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things, John 14 says. The Holy Spirit will teach you in that hour what you ought to say, Luke 12 says. This makes a mockery of our pragmatism. And it guides us into the wonder of a Spirit-generated, Spirit-filled life. So for those in the room that said, Lord, we put our first on the table. Father, we will do anything. He would say to us then, stop, wait, don't move until I speak. But when I speak, you go. And it will be beautiful. The Spirit is within each of us. We wait on him. we've watched for his next. For those in the upper room, well, they got to see the miraculous launch of his church, like within minutes. They didn't even know this was going to happen. It just kind of, the spirit fell. They kind of knew what to do. Fickled went to passionate. Hiding out, went to stepping out and preaching within a couple of minutes. So this could happen today. This could happen today, because it happened already in Scripture. Within about 20 minutes, getting over the sermon, 3,000 people were added to the church. It could happen because we go eat lunch in the next 15 minutes. They were doing just what we're doing right now. They were praying. They were asking the Spirit to move. They were giving themselves to Jesus. They had written there anything for Him. And then 10 minutes later, 3,000 people came to know Christ. I didn't plan to say that. This is exciting me right now. Like, I'm just realizing what happened among these people sitting in an upper room praying and what could happen among us. Steps of obedience they couldn't have fathomed. Going to global places they could have never known. Internal conviction that they didn't have yet, that not yet experienced. Trusting God that an enemy would become a global missionary. They were antithetical to Paul in this moment. No idea. Look, who are you antithetical with? Who are you in a battle with? Who is killing you and your family right now? They could become the greatest missionary if we will see people as God sees them. Oh my goodness. Paul landing in Philippi by the guidance of the Holy Spirit to a little group of ladies who were standing outside a gate praying. This all went down 2,000 years ago because a group of people slid their yes on the table and said, "We'll do anything, Lord. What about you and what about me? What about us as a communal body of Christ going after the things of God?" This happens, and this is on the screen now, when the vertical captures the horizontal and the horizontal glorifies the vertical. This happens when the heart of God captures the heart of His people, and the heart of His people is the glory and the renown of the living God. And we say to Him, "Yes, Lord, we will do anything for the sake of Your glory." Can we make that true of us? This is not foolish if you believe in heaven. This is not foolish if you believe that God will supply. This is not foolish if you believe that you can barely chew gum and walk. Every significant impact for God's kingdom were made up of people like that, from Paul to D.L. Moody to the man that we buried this week, Billy Graham, to Mother Teresa, to Mike and Bonnie, to the Stokelds and across Asia, Guatemalan powerful movement. It's just a group of inadequate people who said yes to Jesus. Average people, the least likely, fundamentally and completely resigned to God's glory and willing to do anything. Hallelujah. That's all I have. Let's pray, Lord. I am really grateful, Lord, that while that's all I have, it is not all that You have. And so, Lord, in verse 20, I simply offer as a prayer, now, Lord, to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen, Lord. Now, Lord Jesus, as a body of most unlikely believers, You be glorified forever and ever, and we will cry out yes and amen, God. God, I pray that there would be a keen growth of inadequacy among our body, that You would bring us to brokenness so that You could redeem us into who You want us to become. God, I pray that there would be a keen leaning in to You. As we studied in our groups this morning, that there would be a crucifixion of self so that there is a resurrection of Jesus among us. That the life we live in this body will no longer be for our name's sake, but be for the sake of the kingdom of Yours, living God. God, I pray for a group of people who are fundamentally inadequate and deeply leaning into You, crucified to self, coming alive to Jesus. I pray that there would be across this room a willingness to say, "Yes, Lord." Whatever gives glory to Your name, our answer is yes. Some of our pastors are here at the front. As we sing in just a moment, if you would like for someone just to pray with you or sing a song with you or praise Jesus with you, we're here. This altar is open every Sunday. I'm praying that it will be filled. As we just come inadequate and simply confess that to the Lord. Oh, what a beautiful, beautiful thing that could happen among a church of people who are bowed before the Lord, our God, our Maker, who are willingly and joyfully telling Him, we do not have what it takes, Lord, but you, oh God, are our supply. This altar is open for you to come and simply confess that to Him. We should invite you to worship and to praise with us. If you want to come and bend a knee before the Lord, our God, our Maker, we invite you to that as a beautiful act of worship and response. Finally, if you would like to come into relationship with Jesus, of course, our pastors are here at the front now. We're also waiting here after the service. If you would like to talk about what it means to know Christ, to have Him as your supply, that's the beginning point. So Jesus, I pray that you would stir in this room. Holy Spirit, stir. Would you stand and sing? Would you make your way?